But when I envision what a man is, I think of my grandfather, I think of my dad, and those who come before me, the ones that we know their names and the ones not. To me, a man is one that's willing to always adapt and evolve and keep adding to his tool bag.
Welcome to the Rising Tribe. I'm Jared.
And I'm Austin.
And our goal is to inspire young men to build strong families and discover their potential as men, husbands, and fathers.
And we'll do this by having authentic conversations about faith, family, health, and business as we strive to level up our lives and the lives around us. Welcome, everybody, to our May episode of the Rising Tribe with our special guest. Jared, how about you introduce us to our guest today?
Yeah, so today on the show, we have a special guest, another member of the United States Air Force, Arnie Twitty. Brother, what's up? How you doing?
I'm blessed. Yourself?
Dude, we are rocking and rolling, man. So it's been pretty fun because since we started doing interviews, all of the guests that we've had so far have been connections through Austin, primarily either in the church community or in the door-to-door community, crossovers of the two. But Arnie, you are our first guest who's also a military member, which has been it's been kind of a part where we've been lacking a little bit, just because like I'm the one in the Air Force over here and Austin's in the door-to-door world back in the States. And so there's just a little bit of a disconnect for us to be able to get to talk to more military members. So I'm super excited to have you on, dude. From the first time that we sat down and had a conversation at the 21 meeting, dude, I was like blown away. Austin. So it was just kind of like, it was like a small talk conversation. You're just supposed to like network and get to know other people in the operational logistics community. And Arnie and I were talking, and I can't remember even how it got brought up, but we started talking a little bit about financial independence, I think, or like personal finances. And then like Arnie let slip just a little bit that he was hustling on the side with a side hustle. And I was like, oh, like, tell me more about that. And then we started talking. I was like, dude, this is a kindred spirit right here, brother. So we got talking. He was telling me about his, the businesses he started before he finally went active duty after commissioning. And then I was telling him about how I had that break and I went and did some solar sales. And dude, I'm just so excited. Arnie is a unique individual, by every definition. So I'm super stoked. So, Austin, is there anything you want to toss in there before we get going?
No, when I got on the call with Arnie, I'm like, all right, he's like, bless. And that's true. Like, it's such a good way to think, man. So that's one of the first things that stood out to me about you. Just very happy guy. It's cool that you guys are connected, and it's cool that you guys get to work together out in Italy. I heard from Jared that you do like all this vending machine stuff and that you're just a really good man. And so that's one of the reasons why we wanted to have you on the podcast. Not the vending machine stuff, but he just said like, yeah, Arnie is just a really good man who has a really good thing, really good things coming for him that he's building towards in his life. And so that's, yeah, I've been excited for this all week, man. So we're happy to have you here, brother.
Glad to be here.
So we'll go ahead and just kind of give everybody a little bit of context. So I'm curious, one, like, how old are you? And then like your background of like how you got into the Air Force in the first place. And I think this will be like a really important kind of like keynote to then talk about what it is that you're doing and what your goals are for the future. Because, you know, a lot of people may have in their minds, like, military members are such and such way. Like, you know, everyone's kind of the same. They all join to do the same thing, but that's not true. You get everybody from every walk of life. So I'm really curious about you. So give us a little bit of your background, dude.
All right. Perfect. So ever since I was a kid, my father was a pastor, mother was a minister. My grandmother was a pastor. So I come from a big, like, Southern Baptist Bible Belt of America background. Basketball was the go-to, and then it was school and sports. Jesus Christ run through these veins. But as far as getting to how I got to the Air Force, so I'm the fourth or the youngest of four children. So from North Carolina, Polk County area, if you know it. And my father was like, I pay for the first three. We're going to have to figure out how we're going to get you through school on, you know, in the last, you know, you're the last one. What's that? We're going to pay for this. And so my brother, who had been through school and law school, he was like, you can join and get the military to pay for it. And at first I was like, I never would see myself in the military. And when in high school, I did Marine Corps JROTC. So that kind of put me on the military track. And I was like, okay, I think I could juggle with this idea. And so I got to college. I sat down with not a recruiter, but it was orientation. And one of the individuals at NC State, I told him, like, hey, I'm thinking about doing an Air Force ROTC. And he was like, what's your email? And out of nowhere, I got a recruiting email or email from a recruiter saying, hey, come out on Tuesday, 5 o'clock in the morning. And the rest was history. I got there. I loved it. I seen how everyone's in uniform and realized like the stability of it. I was like, that's what we're doing. We're running with it. So that's what got me in the Air Force. It was, I would say, more of a money thing. But then the longer I stayed in it, I was like, oh, I can travel. I can make money. So all these extra started realizing it was going to help me get to that ultimate level of like generational wealth that I'm striving for. So yeah, so that little bit of back.
Dude, and then where did you go to school again?
North Carolina State University. So go gotcha. Pack, you know.
And was it, you went through Air Force ROTC then?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Political right science. Yeah.
So for everyone who's unfamiliar, when you commission into the Air Force as an officer, there are a couple different routes that you can go. One of them is to go to college like Arnie, to go to any college that has a program and to do an ROTC program. And then you go to classes, you have military classes built in, you have military PT built in and all of that. And then at the end of your first 2 years, you have to go through like a kind of a field training, selection training, where you either get dropped from the program or you get to stay in. And then pretty much if you stay in after that, then you will go ahead and graduate and then commission as an officer. And then you kind of put in preferences of what kind of job you want to do. And then you find out a couple months later what you actually get picked up for, as is the nature with the military. You tell them what you want, and then they tell you what they want. And sometimes those paths cross, and sometimes they don't. But I think I'm convinced they always cross based on what God wants. And so that's an important thing for sure. And then after you find out what job you get picked up for, then you put in your preferences for what base you want to go to. And then same thing, you put in your preferences, and then the Air Force tells you where you're going to go. Now, Arnie, I believe I think Italy's your first base, right?
Yes, it's my first base. So 3 years here. I believe they switched it a few years before I commissioned. So now your first overseas duty station will be 3 years. So.
Yeah, yep. Right on. Because normally, if you're single, then it's 2 years. And then if you're married, it's 3 years. But you got here for three. So that's pretty sweet. And the other avenues for going to become an officer are to either go to one of the service academies, like I did. You go to the school, and it's like 24/7, you're in the military sort of deal. Or you can get your degree and then you kind of like apply to then go to officer training school and whatnot to become an officer. So Arnie is a logistics readiness officer, and I'm an aircraft maintenance officer, but both of those career fields are technically part of the operational logistics, more broader career field.
Is that, Arnie, is that what you wanted to get into? The logistics and everything?
It was the second choice out of eight. They give you a sheet and they say eight jobs you can do according to your degree. So it was number two on the list. So I wasn't upset. Intel didn't want me. But now that I've been in a little bit, I'm glad they did not want me. Like, they took me not be Intel officer. So yeah. So
that's cool.
Right where God needed me to be.
Yeah, that's how things typically work out. It's like, oh wow, I dodged a bullet there, and I'm where I'm supposed to be. That's exciting. So, I would love to know why. Well, my dad is in the Air Force for 21 years. Went to the academy just like Jared. Why Air Force? Did you have family members in the? I mean, a lot of your family were pastors, and worked doing like work. My grandpa was a chaplain, and so I'm just wondering. Yeah, like, so why was the draw to the Air Force as opposed to any other branch? Was it just because that was there? Or, I mean, I think the Air Force is the best because my dad went to the academy and everything. So I'm like, yeah, no way. You gotta go to Air Force. But yeah, kind of help me understand that, man.
So no one in my direct line of, I guess, genealogy went. So my grandfather didn't serve in Vietnam. No one that I know of before then. But my uncle served in Vietnam. So when I have conversations with them, they would tell me like, oh, you know, when we was in Vietnam, we did this, but they were in the Army. And then when I did Marine Corps, JROTC, all the Marines were like, go to the Air Force. If you're going to do any branch, go to the Air Force. Like, you know, want to be hard, do hard things, Marine Corps, but no, forget that. Go to the Air Force. So that is why I joined. That's what made me choose that branch. Like, that sold it on me. I knew I didn't want to do nothing with, like, Navy and water. So Air Force all day. Hook. That's, here we go.
That's cool. My I always felt like the general stereotype of the Air Force is that it's way, and this is a good thing, that it's way more friendly for families. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if this is a good thing to say, like, you can get in trouble saying this, but like, typically, like, the Army route, it isn't as functional for families. It's a lot harder. And that's just what I've heard all across the boards, that like, the Air Force is a way to go. But, you know, it's like, it's way more family friendly. Just with how you know, you can still serve the country, but it's like, you don't have to do some of this crazy stuff. Like, you know, I don't know if that makes sense. Like, the Marines, that's so funny. The Marines are like, go to the Air Force.
Nah, for sure. Like, my brother, he's a captain in the Marine Corps right now. He's on the reservist side. He did active this past year, but even it is more, I guess, better on families with the Air Force. But talking to, like, see my brother who lives the Marine Corps life, it's still,
he's fine. Good.
I mean, there's just certain things he have to go do that I might not have to go do. So it keeps my mother up late at night. She's a little more worried about him when he's deployed compared to probably myself, if I ever get, yeah, you know.
Right. That's something we often use, but like when we're talking about, like, consoling families who have a member who's deploying for the Air Force, like, I had friends asking, like, hey, are you going, like, directly into this hot zone? But like, no, that they wouldn't stick $1 million airplanes right there, because that's where it's hottest. You're going to stick them a couple hundred miles away from where things are going crazy. Yeah. To protect those assets, protect those people, and then the jets will fly off and go do the thing and then come back. So generally speaking, most Air Force individuals are farther away from the fight. Here's a huge question, right? So Austin's dad, 21 years in the Air Force. Was he a full bird colonel, Austin? I think he was.
He's a lieutenant colonel. Did not decide to stay long enough to do, you know, full colonel.
To become a colonel.
Just because he would have had to gone to war school down in Alabama, and it just wouldn't have made sense for our family at the time. So he retired, and he got out as a lieutenant colonel.
Yeah, so, which is remarkable. Really, it is, especially 21 years, man. That's so. There's kind of two sides. The one side, you look at that, you're like, dude, 21 years of your life in the Air Force. Like, why would you do that? Like, what on earth would compel you to do that? And then on the other side, you look at it and you're like, dude, 21 years. If you get in, let's see, how old were you when you graduated and commissioned?
Myself, I was 22.
You're 22, right? So if you do 20 years, you'd be 42. Exactly. You'd be 42 years old, retired with a pension, you know, every month for the rest of your life, disability benefits, most likely. And then also, if you should die or anything should happen to you during that time, like, benefits to the rest of your family for the rest of their life. So why not just do that? Like, that sounds like, on the one hand, you're like, dude, that's a lot of time. And on the other hand, you're like, bro, but you don't, you'd still only be 42. And, I don't know about you guys, I'm planning to live to be 100 and a lot more than that. So, like, you still got a lot of life ahead of you. And so the reason I ask is, you know, I don't know whether or not you're intending on staying in 20 years or not, but I know that you are highly motivated and you are hustling to provide generational wealth for your family. You're, as far as I know, you're not married and you don't have any kids right now. You are out here. So what is motivating you when you could just sit back, spend all your money and just say, my retirement plan is I'm going to stay in for 20 years and then I'll be taken care of forever. Why are you going above and beyond?
Oh man, that's a loaded question. so there's a passage in the Bible where this is where it starts for me, I guess. Anything I do in life isn't for me. Anything that God gives me, I realize, is not for me. Even being stationed here, family has come out. Like, my sister's coming in July, if you will. My brother's been out here, my two cousins, my mother. So I realized, like, everything I'm doing will be for my future generation, future kids. Like, you know, I look forward to the day, like, y'all are, you know, have one on your side and one coming. You know, I look forward to those days. And then I look forward to the days where I can be that grandpa that's sitting on the porch, drinking some water, and my grandson or whatnot want to come and say, hey, I think I want to go stay in Europe or this part of the world for 3 months. All right, well, let me pay for it. You know, or here you go. And then it branches out to children who are unfortunate, you know, like that. For me, it's just like, this is a small, like, this is something I have to do so I can do what I want to do in the future. That's kind of how I look at the Air Force. It's like, all right, I have to do this. So when I get to that point in my life, I can do what I want to do. And honestly, I don't know whether that is a political route or a philanthropist route, truthfully. But that would be why, like, in the passage says, like, people were blessed because they knew Abraham and Abraham knew God. It wasn't that the people knew God, it was that Abraham knew him. And just because they knew Abraham, they were blessed. So that's just kind of how I look at life. Like, as long as I stay near God, and that's the case, because I know him, people around me will be blessed as well. And it's been true so far for the last 24 years. So I'm just going to keep going with it. That's why. That would be my answer in a nutshell to that question.
Dude, that's really awesome.
Cool. I think that God gives to the people, God gives to his children that are going to give those resources to more of his children. I think he really sees the intent of our heart. And so I've had friends that haven't been in the best situation financially, but their hearts are so pure where they just want to make an impact and change lives, to where it's just a matter of time before they strike gold and God's going to bless them with those resources to bless lives. And I think I see that in you, man. Like, I see that you want to help not only your family, but then that's going to be an extension to other people in need. And there's a lot of people in need, and not just in need financially, but just of the things that you're going to learn and the things that we're learning as we strive for, like, financial independence and for wealth. Those things that we learn, like, that's more valuable, in my opinion, than the money in the bank. You being able to teach your kids and your grandkids all of those things, like the attributes and the knowledge to be able to create that wealth. That's just what I've been seeing. And I'm stoked for you. I think God's going to use you to bless a lot of lives. I can just see it. I can hear it when you're speaking, man.
It means a lot.
Well, and yeah. I firmly believe, I totally agree with Austin. I believe that when we set out to do something or to become a certain kind of person, we're going to start to attract opportunities that, you know, that provide, or the opportunities that if we jump on them would then provide the evidence for that belief that we're genuinely trying to do. Something I was just thinking about, Austin, as we were talking about financial independence. When my wife and I first got married, we started talking a little bit about credit card rewards and like points and miles and stuff. And I was like super deep in the rabbit hole of like credit card rewards and, you know, how to maximize them and stuff. And my wife was pretty skeptical about credit cards in general. And we started talking about how military members get their annual fees waived and how if we just treat it like a debit card, this, that, and the other. And so we slowly started accumulating some points here and there. And then we kind of went like hog wild. And I mean, just like card after card after card and the points and the bonus and the offers and like all the things. And so then we had racked up a whole bunch of points. And we had a whole bunch of conversations though along the way about like, what's the purpose of these things, like these points. If these points, they could translate into actual money for us, but also what could they provide us other than that? And one thing is like we get to go on like fun, lavish, incredible vacations that we never would have paid for. But we've come to find that it is so much more fun to use those points and miles on other people, to bring other people on trips or to pay for someone else's trip. And we've done it several times. And I don't bring it up because like I want to boast about doing it, but like it brings us so much more joy and happiness. And if you looked at it at like an entirely selfish perspective, like, wouldn't you do what makes you the happiest? And it just so happens that what's making us happier is getting to spend those points on other people. And so like my little brother is getting married in a couple months and I was talking to him, we're going out for his wedding. And he's like, dude, like we're kind of like, you know, strapped for cash and I'm trying to figure out what to do for our honeymoon. And cause I mean, they're both college students, like they're, you know, they're barely making anything. And I was talking to my wife. I was like, hey, we've got all these points in this, you know, IHG points that we haven't used in like a year and a half. Like we've had these points forever and I don't see us using them in the near future. Why don't we use this? And before I even like suggested, hey, maybe we could use these to pay for a hotel stay for them, my wife was like, well, why don't we just use our IHG points and offer to pay for a hotel for them for, you know, like a week or whatever as their wedding gift. And I was like, you are the most incredible human. I love you. Like, I mean, just that, like, we've had those conversations over and over again about what do we do with our resources and why do we have them? And it's given us the opportunity to bless other people in ways that we've seen ourselves blessed time and time again across, you know, across our entire history. And Austin, I'm pretty sure, dude, I'm pretty sure you shared experiences like this, you know, similar to this with me before. Am I wrong?
Just about giving, like just being blessed. Yeah, just like by
having received and then wanting to go out and give back, you know, or paying it forward. You
like
know?
It's like there's so much. I feel so blessed sometimes, man. Like I'm like, wow, like we have all this that God has given us. Obviously, it's come through a lot of hard work, but there's no way I could have done this without God. And we just have different vehicles. Like you guys are both in the Air Force. Jared, you do your credit card rewards. I do door to door and sales training. And then Arnie, like I think it's all, we have this like vision to like make an impact and to give. But every person's going to have different vehicles to create wealth and to create income. And I know Arnie's got a couple that I wanted to hear about specifically because I had never thought of one of these, and well, tell us about vending machines, man. Like, I want to hear more about vending machines.
Okay. So one thing, and I'm tying into this, I promise I'm going somewhere with this.
Yeah.
We commissioned ROTC. They kind of make you stay in this inactive reserve period. You're not getting paid, but you still have to like make sure you're keeping up with the fitness standards and things of that nature. And so for logistics officers, you'll be waiting around 10 to 11 months. So you'll have to, you're basically like a civilian, you have to find work. And I'm constantly thinking, like, how can I generate wealth? How can I generate like money? If I have an idea, I'll write it down. And so, at the time I had a buddy and he was like, man, how can we make some money? And I just, something popped my head was like, vending machine. Like, it was like, okay, cool. And it's funny because a lot of times people are like, oh, someone's watching us. Because as soon as I said this, I started getting on Instagram and seeing, oh, vending machine business. And it was like, all right, you're telling me? Like, is this what it's like? So I reached out to my buddy and I was like, hey, man, I think we can do this. And I'm the type of person where I don't like sit around waiting. Like, we make a plan, let's go do it. Like, let's take action on this. So in the state of North Carolina, I believe it's 128. To fill out a not to get your EIN, what is it?
Your LLC.
Yep, your LLC. Thank you. So to get that and filled it out, got the information, what we needed. Boom, there we go. We got a business. We got it. Got it started. Reached out to another buddy of mine because engineering is a big thing at NC State. So reached out to a buddy. And was like, hey, can you create me a thing for my business, like
a logo, a design.
Yeah, like just a cool design that makes us unique. And so he made it, and here we are. We got a Coke, not Coca-Cola, but we have a vending machine. Like, I'll see if I can even put it in there, but let's see, can I get it in there? Yep. So that's like the vending machine logo, if you can see it.
Yeah. L&T Vending?
Yep, L&T Vending, man. So like that, and his wife works at the school, and she started, hey, I know someone that can put a vending machine here. Started reaching out to churches, new construction sites that were building complexes. Well, hey, we can provide you a vending machine. That was a YMCA that was opening up. So it's like cold calling, doing all that, and just saying, hey, we can provide this for you. You went to the bank, open up a line of credit, boom, like, and just went with it. And it's, you know, generated some good returns here, if you will. And yeah.
So before we just like skip over to the, and then we had vending machines and now we're making money. Like, where do you go to buy vending machines? Like, how are you stocking them? Is your buddy filling them up? Like, you paying a high schooler to like work us through the whole logistics, man.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. So there's a place in Spartanburg, South Carolina, and you can Google is your best friend if you're trying money for sure. So just Google like places that sell vending machines. So you can like find some that are used and they'll fix them, or go on YouTube or not YouTube, but Facebook Marketplace selling like vending machines, or there are sales in your area that you can go to and just look and find a vending machine and go buy. And you should find somebody with a truck or rent a truck, go pick it up, install it. Some will need an outlet. So just keep that in mind. But that's how you find your vending machine. You get it. And then as far as stocking, to keep costs low or whatnot, you can do it yourself. But after you get a certain amount of locations, you can literally do it's what they call buying a route. And so after you get a certain amount of routes, you can literally buy a route. Like right now, if you guys are like, I think I want to open up a vending machine company, you don't even have to open it up. You can go buy a route, like a legit, somebody already got the vending machine set up for you, and you're just buying that route. And now it's passive income, and you just pay one person to take that route and refill those vending machines and check in on them. So that's pretty much how we do it. But to answer your question, my buddy, our business partner, we live in like this small town, so he lives there. He's one of the ones that like, I don't need to go and see the rest of the world. I can live here.
Yeah,
we have it. So I was like, all right, well, now we don't have to pay someone to go do it. Or actually, he is on the payroll to do that. So he's getting paid from his own business. So, yeah.
Dude, so how many machines do you have?
Like, right now, we only have six. Like, six.
Well, that's six more than, like, 99.99% of America. So,
yeah, so six right now.
Dude. Going
well, like, hey, we got things going. So, yeah.
Dude, that's awesome. And how much did it cost you on average for each machine? Are we talking like $1,000? Or are we talking like $10,000? Like what are we looking at?
Depends on what you're wanting. If you're talking to a YMCA, obviously they want state of the art things in there, so you want your vending machine to look more flashy. That's probably gonna cost you between $4,000 to $7,000. But if you're looking at a warehouse where people aren't gonna be seeing the back of it, $1,200. And you might even do a deal where you can get one for $800 and then buy the card reader and get it installed. You can install it yourself. I'm a big person doing things myself. It's like, I'll buy it for $800, get the piece and install it. Got a vending machine for $900 to get the card reader. So it just depends on what route you decide to take.
I run into DIY guys every day, Arnie. They're tough to switch sometimes for pest control, right? I don't know. Pest control, maybe you'd hire that one out. But so, dude, I think it's so cool that the DIY mentality is so cool, though, because Kaya and I started doing some of that stuff last year because somebody actually made a comment within my circle, and it's the biggest blessing of my entire life that they said this. But I was struggling with something and figuring something out with like how to use tools and all this. This person saw it and they made a comment around some of my other friends and said, yeah, like, he doesn't know how to do much. Like, if there was the end of the world situation, he wouldn't be able to do anything. And I was like, it really made me mad. I was like, that guy, I can sell. I can make money. But then I'm like, wait, he's right. And so I started learning how to DIY stuff. And it's so much fun. Like the DIY mentality, just go figure it out. You said it yourself. Google's your best friend if you want to figure something out. And it's just that belief system. Like Jared for a little while had something on his computer screen that said, I'm the type of person that can learn anything. Was that the phrase, Jared?
Yeah. Had on that for a few years.
True.
Yeah.
I think if you believe that about yourself, like there's an abundance of knowledge out there. That if you're just looking for the right in the right places, you'll see it. And whether or not the phone heard you say the word vending machine, maybe it didn't, and maybe you just were more aware of that and you were looking for opportunities. But I do think our phones listen to us. So if I see vending machine ads after this, I will confirm that our phones listen to us. So yeah, dude, I think it's cool that you just figured it out. And I think that's something I see in Jared too. Like, yeah, I'm just going to figure it out and get it done. But that's really cool that you did that, man. And hopefully it continues to grow. I mean, people overlook these businesses like vending machines. I'm sure your vending machines cash flow more than some real estate properties, right? Like these six vending machines, nobody would have thought that you could make good cash flow off of a vending machine over a house. Where in all reality, you can. There's so many fun ways to make money. Quick question. You are offering, right? Are you having to do a profit share with these places? Or are you just like, hey, I got a vending machine, I can help?
It really depends. Like, you would create a contract sometimes it's 10%. So it's like, hey, I'll give you 10% of the earnings. But also, you could do it that route. Or like for a church, you could be like, hey, this is a donation to your church. So now it's a tax write-off, right? So like there's different ways you can. So do it that route. Or there's a way to, let's say, okay, I'll give you 10%. But if it's in an office, right? All right, well, now my business can also provide you oranges and bananas and things like that to set up a coffee spot for you. And we'll just bill you an invoice at the end of the month for these prices. So you get your oranges, a bundle, we're just going to keep it simple math, $5. All right. But you're charging that service overall something else. You can now make money off of that. And are you really losing 10% in the vending machine itself? Like, there's so many different ways that you can definitely make money with the vendors.
But a lot of people are not, they're not charging you for the space on the floor. They're happy to have you bring in a vending machine.
Exactly. They now,
that's really cool.
I want you to, like, you're using the power and things like that. So when offering, or when I put in an offer, hey, we can offer you this, I'll provide you this, I'll throw in there, hey, yeah, just so you know, because we're using your power or something along those lines, we'll give you 10%, because it's just doing great business.
Right.
I just, you know, I'll scratch your back, you scratch my back in that case.
Right. Dude, Arnie, I don't think I told you this. I was this close to buying a vending machine when I was in college. Like, I was so close. I had, what happened was I'd gone back to California on break, some holiday break, and we'd gone to this store called Kong's. I don't know what it's called now. They changed the name, but it's like, it's basically stuff where it's a place where they sell like goods that are cosmetically damaged. So like the palette got scratched. And so all the boxes on here are scratched or like kind of squished or stuff like that. And dude, they had like energy drinks, like pallets and pallets and pallets of them.
Oh, wow.
And it was usually like one on top of the pallet broke and just dripped all over the other ones. And so now they're all considered bad. And so they're selling the whole pallet for like something to the effect of like 50 cents a can. I mean, just like super, super cheap. And I was like, dude, all you got to do is clean them, man. That's it. That's, you just got to clean them. You toss. And I was like, yo, okay. So if we could make, and I was like doing some numbers in my house, like, yo, I could get one at school. And so then I started looking into whether or not it was legal for me to have a vending machine at the academy. And it turns out it was not. So I wasn't able to do that. But we were close. We were really close. And then I got in trouble with legal because I was cutting hair instead. And I was infringing on FSS contract for barbershops and stuff. So I ended up not doing it. But dude, I was close. So this is, dude, that's freaking hilarious. And then, and then it doesn't stop with vending machines, dude. Like those 10, 11 months that you were waiting around for your commission to finally, or for you to finally go active duty. So you decide to start, was this trucking business with your cousin?
So it's with my cousin and a friend. And how it started was, my cousin called me, and he was at the time working for Amazon in their distribution center. He driving the trucks, and he was like, I think I want to start a business. And he calls me Cuzzo. So I was like, dude, start a trucking company. And then I had my other friend from state who does the engineering part, like the designing of, you know, whatever. Like, he's more in the marketing, but he was engineer. He calls me, and he was like, yo, I think we got to get into the trucking business. Like, we can make some money. And I honestly was like, I'm not interested at all, but what I'll do is hook y'all two up together, and y'all can do whatever you want to do. And so we got on a call, and I introduced them to one another, and it was like, yeah, but we need somebody like can kind of drive, or like just not that person is just going to be there and say, hey, I'll make a call or whatnot, an admin person. And I was like, okay, I'll be an admin. Like, I'll do that part. And so it was like, let's do this. So I literally got on the computer that night, created an LLC. It's called HNT Trucking. Created an LLC, submitted it, got the business in, and then got our EIN number. All right, we got a trucking company. And so then I started doing research and was like, all right, how much does it cost to get DOT certified? How much it costs to get this, that, and the third? And people were charging like $1,800 and up for them to establish a business, get you compliant on the road, and all these different certs. And so I was like, there got to be a better way. Do it yourself, right? So come to find out, I ended up doing more research and was able to apply for myself. I only spent $300 to get DOT compliant. Like, that's all it took to get federally compliant with the government. With the government, and they were charging me $1,800 to do all this and up, and I was like, I need to get in the business of charging $1,800.
Dude, you got to be selling the pickaxes and gold mining equipment, dude. Exactly.
So, yeah, and we had a business. We got our own like authorization number. You know, when you go on, like when you're driving past a truck in America, they have like an authorization number, and that's your number for your company. And then when you go and you get bids for company, you know, hey, we'll move your stuff for you. You give them that number, and they plug it in. They see how long you've been on the road, how many wrecks your company has had. It has all of that. So, yeah, so we started it. My cousin slash business partner, he was like, I want to drop trucks. So he did that route. He was like, all right, you go to trucking school. My friend, you get the business part. Like, you know, you create the logo, the business statements, all of that. And then my job was, so another thing I did not tell you when we first met, Jared, was that I buy salvage title vehicles and resell them, like fix them up and resell them. So okay. I was like, all right, I can get us a vehicle. That's no problem. Called my father who brought me into the business of how to do that, got us a Sprinter van. So that was like our start. It was like, all right, we get a Sprinter van and, you know, then we move up to the box truck and then we get to like the transfer trucks after my cousin get his like CDLs and things along those lines. Right. So yeah, we just kind of made a roadmap and we was like, we're going to go and we're going to do this. And it was like, nothing's going to stop us. And then I moved to Italy, started going different routes. Right. Like I said, so like the business has been good; it's profitable. But it's I'll tell you like up front, we because of all of us being business partners, my cousin, we wanted to get the business established and say, okay, can this make money? And we proved that it can make money. But now my cousin, because it can get expensive. So what my cousin slash business partner done is he got his CDLs, but now he's driving for another company at the moment out in Arizona, actually, because insurance is like crazy high when you have new drivers, things along those lines. And then my other business partner, he's working on getting his cybersecurity so he can like work for the United States government and do that side of the house. So everyone's kind of like doing their own thing and we're kind of letting this like business, okay, it's been established. We're keeping it afloat. Like we're all putting money into it. So when we do come back together, we can go ahead and just buy a truck. He can run the fleet and like own his own business. Cause that's just like the roadmap. We just want to get it established. And then,
right.
You know, so yeah. So that just like, it's where we're at. Dude.
Well, and not to downplay where you guys are going, but mm-hmm. if you guys decided to close up shop tomorrow, this would not mm-hmm. be a failure story. Like this entire process is what is so cool is that you guys mm-hmm. were like, what can we do with our brains? Like what ideas can we have and how can we move our bodies and our resources like in line with that idea? It's just that curiosity of what could happen if ... Yeah. And you guys are just proving it out. I mean, like who's to say that any of us are going to be doing the same thing that we're doing now or even a fraction of what we're doing now 30 years from now? Like probably not. I mean, who knows what God has in store for us and what, you know, what opportunities could come our way. But I think it's just absolutely remarkable that you're just like, well, let's Google it. Let's find out what, I mean, we sit and ask ourselves all the time, man, but what would happen? But I know it probably won't work because this, and then people are going to think that, oh, and I'd have to do this. Like, I know I'll just keep going back.
Yeah, no, that's true, man. I seen a saying the other day and I definitely incorporated it. And it was like, comparison is the enemy of joy. And I was like, what? Like that's so true because like I'm always comparing myself to someone else and thinking, oh, I can't do this because this person did and they failed, or can I really do that? One is killing my joy and two is killing my confidence. I try not to never tell myself no and just find the right crazy person to tell me yes. Like there's no such thing as no finding the right crazy person to say yes. It's like what I believe. So we acquired some Sprinter vans. Was in the process of getting a box truck and decided business, like, hey, let's hold off because you can make money in this. Like Sprinter vans will bring you starting out $3,000 a week if you have a Sprinter van. And then box trucks, they bring in around $13,000. So honestly, when we was doing the numbers, you can bring in around $250,000 a year with one box truck. So you buy four box trucks on the business credit, that's $1 million a year. Like obviously net, but or gross, but it you can scale it real fast. Like there's a 19-year-old in Washington State right now, been in the business 2 years and already worth $2 or $3 million off of 2 trucks in his fleet. You can you can definitely make money fast with, I mean, because we took the route of, hey, everyone's busy. We got the business established. Now let's go work on our individual careers and come back. But if we want it, we literally could, all right, I'm going to hire a driver, get 2 more Sprinter vans, and now have these people driving us. And you can, like, buy a Sprinter van. You don't even have to have an LLC. You can just literally go buy, like, I know, Austin, you're into the homes. Take some of that money, go buy 1 Sprinter van or 2, hire some drivers and say, hey, I'll pay you this much. And they literally would go and go to UPS or Amazon. There's literally trucks outside of those places that say, hey, we can't deliver all these things. We need help. There's a company. Really? Like, there's so many different ways that you can make money fast. And you're here in Italy. You can go. And I see the smile on Austin's face. He's like, I'm going to buy Sprinter van tomorrow. But like, you can go on Indeed and look up like companies that need Sprinter vans or whatnot. And some companies will even rent out your Sprinter van and say, we'll provide the driver, the insurance, all of that. We just need your Sprinter van.
What?
Well, Indeed, I kid you not. Like, shame, like, plug. I'm trying to tell you, like, there's so many ways that you can make passive income that is unreal. So, like, trucking, like, transportation business is really where it's at. Sprinter vans cost, like, you just got to worry about tires. Like, now, when you start getting to the box trucks or, like, the bigger vehicles, now things can get a lot more expensive if things break. But with the Sprinter van, I mean, a tire pop, I just go buy another tire, tax write off. I had to spend money. So, say, It's out there. It is money to be made. Like I said, 3 Sprinter vans, that's $9,000 a week. Multiply that by 4, math in public, 36,000 a month from 3 vans.
Yeah. And your car pay, the payments on that debt is not 36,000
at all. And it's almost business.
So you have a really different perspective on debt. It's like, hey, it's a tool. Like, give me that money. I can use it to make more money. And exactly. I think there's a, man, it's just, you're very creative. I can see it as you're talking. Like, I have one of my friends, he just says, there's so many ways to make money. I showed him this piece of land out here in Georgia. He says, you need to buy that. You could do this, 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 and this. You can rent out this spot. You can do horses. You could do, you know, parking. And I'm like, man, you're right. But it's just like, that you got to start thinking that way in order for those ideas to start coming. Like, exercising is the same way. It doesn't all come at once. So it's good to be around people like you, Arnie, that think like that, because you're like, wow, like, well, how would Arnie think about it? And I'd be like, oh, he would think like this, you know? So,
dude. Well, and I think the story in the Bible, they call it the Matthew principle in economics, is that you know, there's 3 different dudes, and their Lord gives them, like, gives one guy 1 talent, one guy 2 talents, and one guy 5 talents, and he tells them to go and you know, like, give it to the bankers or do whatever, and when I come back, I'm gonna collect on what you've done with these talents being money. And when he comes back, the guy who had 5 talents doubled it, and he had 10. The guy who had 2 doubled it, he had 4. But the guy who had 1 went and buried it because he was afraid of the Lord, and he said he knew he was a serious and a strict man, who reaped where he hadn't sown. And so he went and buried it, and then when the Lord came back, he returned to that one. And the Lord gets upset and takes the 1 talent from him, and he gives it to the dude who had 5 and doubled it to 10. And the reason that story just, like, sticks out to me is that the Lord says exactly the same thing to the guy who had 5 talents, to the guy who had 2 talents. It was just the fact that they both went out and doubled what they had been given. They'd both gone out and taken risks, and they had, in the scriptures, I think it says that they went to bankers and just made the money. But just looking at, like, they took what they had and they went and they multiplied it. They went and they took some risks, and, you know, maybe along the way there was some money lost there and then money gained back. Like, who knows what the actual, you know, full story is that could have happened with these dudes. But the guy that the Lord gets upset with isn't you know, the guy who didn't return as much as the other dude. It wasn't a comparative thing. It was just the fact that that guy didn't take any risks and he was afraid. He lived his life in fear of that Lord. Mm-hmm. That's the guy that the Lord gets upset with. And I think, well, like, what talents have we been given? And not just like, you know, your gift or your talent, you know, that yeah. you've been given, but like the resources that you have, the person that you are, the brain that you've been given, the mind that you have, like, what are you doing with it? Are you surrounding yourself with other people who think differently, who look for opportunities? Like, it might've been that the dude with five talents was like, hey, there's a banker here. And he, you know, he said we can make this investment. And then he tells his buddy who only got two talents. He's like, hey, you know, come invest with me. Let's go. Let's both go to this dude, you know? And like, maybe there was a little bit of that, you know, proximity, but who knows? But what Austin and I are trying to do here with this podcast is just to freaking talk to more people, right? And then yeah. to have conversations, you know, building each other up and then talking to more people and finding out, hey, like, what do you think? What do you believe? Where, you know, what's going on in your brain? Because what I've come to realize with all these people that we've met is that there are so many great people out here just trying to multiply the talents that they've been given in whatever field it is that they are. Like, dude, you freaking live in Italy. And you and your cousin and your brother and your friend are running these businesses back in North Carolina and in the States. And Austin is in Georgia. Dude, he sells pest control. He goes knocking on people's doors saying like, hey, you've got too many bugs. Let me help you. And people are like, yeah, freaking come spray them all. Like, I mean, like, it's totally wild. There's so many ways to play the game of life and it's exciting. And all really like what connects us is just the idea and the curiosity. I'm like, what could be, what the potential is out there. And I like, it just gets me fired up, dude. I just want to see what could happen. Like just the what if. I love playing the what if game because man, life is so cool. There is so much cool stuff going on. And it's just a matter of finding new cool things and just like what else is out there. It's just like an exploration, dude. And I freaking love it.
It reminds me of my brother. That was a saying he told me. He was like, everyone's objective is to get to the top of the roof. And we all start out getting to the top of the roof. Some people are going to get to the top by coming in on a helicopter. Some people are going to take the elevator. Some people are going to take the stairs. But as long as we all get to the top of the roof and reach that objective, that's just what it is. And that's what it reminds me of. It's like everyone goes to get to the top of the roof, but we all going to take different routes to get there. Some probably might take a sky lift. Who knows? But like as long as we get to the top of the roof, that is the goal. So like you say, like we all have this objective. But we're all doing it different, which is just like amazing. And I would have never thought to do the credit card thing. I would have never thought pest control. Like that's one thing I wouldn't have looked at and like, hey, this is gonna bring some money, you know? I mean, it like you said, it blows my mind, Austin. Like that, literally, so, yeah, I totally agree.
So I think it's cool that like you're right. It doesn't matter how you're getting there, just that you're headed that way. And I think with you know, or where you're at right now, just I think direction is more important than speed sometimes. I really do. I think direction, if you're going the right way, then eventually you'll get there. And as long as you're taking those steps. Now, there are phases in life where maybe you want to run up some stairs as opposed to, you know, walk and then take a break. Or like, it's all about like intention, heading the right direction, and then going with momentum and not stopping. And that's another thing. Is like, once you get the ball rolling, like with you, you thought about doing the trucking business and then you just acted like right then and there. And it wasn't necessarily, you didn't wait a long time and talk about it forever. And that's important. If you spend time talking about it, that's when the idea dies. So writing it down to get it on paper and then acting on it and executing is huge. But speaking about, you know, where you're headed, how does faith play into your vision and your dreams and goals on a day-to-day basis? Kind of help me understand that. Like, how does your faith play a role into your vision for your life?
Gotcha. So it's just the number one priority in my life. Like, it is the foundation laid on that, and we go from there, man. Like, even the desires that I have in my heart, right? Like when the Bible says, delight yourself in him and he'll give you the desires of your heart. I think a lot of people get that misconstrued when he says that, because it's not that he'll give you the desires of your heart. When you delight yourself in Christ, your desires will change to his. He will give you those desires that are in your heart because your heart is now chasing after his. And that is what you go after. And then you get in a John where he says, ask anything in my name and I'll give it to you. well, what I'm asking for is what you gave me. So it just that the faith piece is so big for me that it's unreal. Like, you know, like literally that's my identity. I don't care if I have a truck. Yeah. Company. I'm not Second Lieutenant Tweety or any U.S. Like, no, I am child of the Most High. That is who I am. So when it comes to faith, that's one thing I don't play about. Like, I have a lot of friends. Yeah. We had these conversations and we can agree on a lot of stuff. But the moment I get to talking, I'm like, oh, no, I can't. It ain't like, if I believe, then I'm going to hold you to it just like I'm holding myself to it. You know, like that faith piece is a big thing, and it weaves itself into every facet of my life that it can. And do I do everything right? Absolutely not. At the same time, that's what I love about David. A lot of people say David was a man after God's own heart. It's not that his heart was like God's, but it was that his heart, he was constantly chasing God. So his heart was literally after God's heart. Like, he was chasing, how do I get as close or near to you? How, like, that's the whole point. So as long as I'm chasing after God's heart and likeness and understanding my place, that is everything else will fall in line.
So with that, dude, with that, how are you preparing yourself for the day when, you know, when you get married, when you find a wife, and then when you have kids? Like, how are you prepping yourself now for that day?
Again, prepping myself in that way, man. And to let you guys know, because I don't think she'll hear this podcast, I hope she doesn't, before November, but I have a trip planned in November, and I'm thinking about popping the question in Egypt and doing the thing. So it's been a long time coming. If that answers partially the question, but how I prep myself for it is just realizing, like, God, what have you given me? What who have you placed in my life? Is this, again, consulting him, consulting Christ? Is this coming from you, or is this coming from self? And then vector check it around other like-minded people and saying, all right, yeah. So
one thing
I love about Marines, getting back into that, my brother, when I talked to him about it, he was like, one thing that Marines do, or the commanders, they'll draw out a plan and then they'll turn it around and hand it to their peer and say, think of every possible way that this plan can fail. Vector check me, because we have this natural thing to just automatically say, oh, trucking company, oh, that's a good thing, but not once turn around and say, hey, how can this, like, mess me up later on? So, you know, like, is this a good decision? So now, like, act now. So in that, that's how I prepare myself. I get a vector check, and I don't ask people who haven't been there or not. I'm like, hey, I would come to you guys. Hey, I'm thinking about getting married. Well, you know, like, put a brother on. What I need to look for? Help me. You know, what should I have already accomplished? You know, so, like, that's how I prepare myself. You know, like, I have an idea. Again, the desires come from Christ. But before I just act and move, let me seek advice from those who are in the bin or going where I'm going.
Touching on that, my thoughts on marriage is that it was the fastest way to accelerate as a man than any other thing I've ever had in my life. And to add on top of that, a daughter was just another, just, it's like taking a can of lighter fluid and dumping it on a fire. Like, all of my goals got bigger. Like, I went from being an average sales rep to, like, one of the best in my company. Been number one some years, been number two, but, like, going from average to really good, like, that's just because I was having a daughter is what happened. But what I was going to say, so, like, just without getting too into the weeds there, but, like, about marriage, for my, in my opinion, you don't have to have accomplished anything if that woman is on the same, like, wavelength as you, as like, for aspirations and goals for the future and family. Then you just jump. And then one of the beautiful things about marriage is, like, for us, was just struggling a little bit in the beginning with, like, finances and not knowing where to live and not having jobs. Like, those are some of, like, the most cherished days of our marriage, because it was a forming, like, trying phase. Mm-hmm. So it's exciting, man. I'm stoked for you. So hopefully, just don't tell her you're on a podcast so she doesn't say, oh, I want to listen to it.
We won't tag you in any of our posts about it.
I'll let her, after I ask the question, I'll be like, you behind. You know, you 7 months
yeah,
behind.
We recorded this like 8 months ago. Yeah. Dude, no, I 100% echo what I echo what Austin said, dude. Like, I did not know so many things about myself until Marisha and I got married. Like, I didn't know I had opinions about everything, but apparently I did. I had these secret opinions that I didn't know until we were like trying to figure out what couch to buy and what lamps to get. And like, and dude, I was like, I'm like such an easygoing person. Like, dude, we can put whatever we want out. And then she's like, she spends like 3 hours looking at like these 50 different lamps that she wants like in the house. And then like 5 minutes, dude, I've said no to all of them. And she's like, you're the worst. And I'm like, apparently I am, actually. I had no freaking idea. And like, I would say things that were like totally contradictory. And she's like, what do you mean? You just said the opposite. Like in this scenario, that's the same. I'm like, no, that's not the same. It totally was the same, dude. Like, I mean, just so many things I just did not know about myself that I wouldn't have known unless I got married, dude. And yeah. And with having a daughter, dude, forget about it, dude. I mean, like what Austin's saying, like, it's going to amplify like all of the desires in your heart, man. And you're just going to go from like level one to freaking level 10. Like that, dude, it's going to be like, I'm stoked for you, man. Like, this is, it's an exciting, exciting time alive. And I just think like back to before I got married, Austin, how old were you when you got married? Were you 24?
I don't know. I'm 28 now.
Okay. I think we got married like at the same time. We're probably like about 24, dude. And like, yeah, dude, as soon as you get married, we were like, dude, life just got so much better, man. Just so much better. And the ambition just like went up even more. Cause now it's not like, there's part of it that's like, I've got to provide, you know, it is my duty. It is my responsibility to take care of these other people. But dude, I don't even think that's close to the biggest driving factor for me. It's the excitement of getting to do all of these things with them, getting to take my wife places, getting to like, dude, I never understood that impulse that like, you know, in movies or whatever that dads have to like spoil their children or to spoil their wife or like want to, you know, buy them the Gucci and the whatever, dude. I freaking like, I like want to spend all of the money we have on my wife, like all the time. And my wife has to like dial me back, like, no, like we shouldn't be, you shouldn't, like, I don't want that. Like, you know, but I just like, it just comes out of you. She's like, I just want the best for you because it makes me happy. Like, I don't know where that came from, but it's here. And the same thing for my daughter, dude. Like, it's the exact same thing, man. And it's just awesome. Like, how cool that God instituted the family for us to be able to experience this, man. Like, it's just the greatest blessing that could possibly exist, man. So I'm so stoked for you. I didn't realize that you were thinking about getting married already, dude. I'm all for it, brother.
We won't tell her. I think Arnie, I think I have like two last questions for you. So actually bringing that up, Jared, like when Jeremy was out here visiting, like we talked and it was like, men are pretty simple. Like they really like we crave like appreciation and intimacy, obviously. Like I always joke, like that's pretty much like that's all I need, and then just appreciation of our work and for people to appreciate what we're working towards. So appreciation and just that physical connection with a spouse too, like those are huge for a man. Like, and then being able, I was looking at my lawn and I was like, man, that's a good lawn. And I'm like, man, I'm just turning into the stereotypical dad now. And he's like, no, this is an actual feeling. Like a man loves being able to look at what he's created. And I think that's a huge thing with family too, like being able to look at your family and be like, this is our family. And it's so cool. But Arnie, I have this, one of them is kind of like it's a scary question, right? It's like, what are you most afraid of? And I don't want to end the podcast on what is Arnie most afraid of. It's just one of our last ones. Whoa. But one of the next one is, what do you think, what is it to be a man to you? So maybe you can kind of play with both here, but like, what are you most afraid of? And what does it mean to you to be a man?
Okay. I'm most afraid of, we'll start there. So we get on the high note. So I don't know if you're familiar with Les Brown.
Yeah.
He's a motivational speaker. And one of the things he said that stuck out to me was like, imagine being around your deathbed, and instead of all your loved ones and family around you, it's all the things that came to you for you to birth, and now they're going to the grave with you. And this idea, and it tells you, I came to you so that you could birth me because only you had that potential. and you did not. Or this gift saying, I came to you and you didn't help these people. And you had that potential. And honestly, that's the biggest thing I'm afraid of. Like, dying one day and knowing that I did not do the best or the most I could do, whether that's for my children, my wife, my brothers, my sister, mother, friends, friends of friends, doing the most that I could do and having had that ability to bring those things or even just start them. Because like plant a seed and I may not see that like tree grow or that shade or enjoy the shade that tree casts one day, but knowing that that seed came to me and I didn't even think once to plant it, which I gets into a whole bigger thing of, I think the world would be great to, if we could plant seeds knowing that we'll never one day enjoy the shade that it gives, the world would change. But yeah, that would be the biggest thing I'm afraid of. Going into, and me saying that, I have thought about that question a lot. Besides like the clowns and the spiders and the snake, I don't like that stuff either. I'm scared of that too. But
yeah.
But gearing to what we've been talking about, that would be my biggest fear. But to be a man, oh wow. I don't know, man. I'm 24. Okay, like I just got my first big pay. Like just to be honest with you, but when I envision what a man is, I think of my grandfather. I think of my dad. And those who come before me, the ones that we know their names and the ones not. There's a saying that my dad would always say when I would study in basketball film, and it's take the meat, leave the bone. And so when I look at even you two men before me today that I'm on this podcast, okay, what can I take from these two gentlemen that'll make me a better man? So to me, a man is one that's willing to always adapt and evolve and keep adding to his tool bag or toolbox. So yeah, that's what I would say, and willing to admit and say, hey, I was wrong in this instant. Let me change and be better, and still keep my morals and backbone along with that. You know, so that would, to me, that's what I think a man should be. So again, I'm 24. I don't think I'm there at that point yet at all, but that's what I'm striving for. So, yeah,
I'll tell you, man, that's a great answer, because the reason Jared and I started this is because we wanted men or young men to have other men to look towards as an example. And hopefully Jared and I can be that for some people, but we also look towards a lot of men in our lives as examples. I had Jeremy Davis on here, who came out the other day to visit us, and he's a huge person I look towards as an example. People will listen to this today, Arnie, and look towards you as an example. And it's huge. And I love that you said, I just think about my dad and my grandpa, because we need those examples in our lives. And some people don't have them, and that's why we're doing this. And dude, this has been probably one of my favorite recordings that we've done. You're a good man, and your energy, we're doing this over like Riverside, right? But I can feel your energy just through this computer screen, you know? And so hopefully I get to meet you one of these days in person.
It will be mine.
Dude. Yeah, seriously, Arnie, man, thank you so much for coming out, man. This has been awesome, dude. And like, just thinking, you know, when I was 24, I say that as if it was a long time ago. Dude, I'm only 28. So like just a few years ago, like, just, there's so many thoughts that I wasn't having yet. Just so many things. Like they say, like the male brain doesn't develop fully until you're like 26, dude. I'm pretty sure like I turned 26 and then like I woke up. Like I don't even know who that was before then. Like just the way that I didn't think about so many things, man. And so just to hear you saying like, dude, these are all the things that I think about. This is what I've been doing. And here's how I can take advantage of being in Italy for my family and what this can provide for them. And I'm like, dude, you are on a trajectory, my brother. Like, I'm so excited to see, you know, see what happens next year, 24 months from now, 3 years from now, 10 years from now, dude. Like, and I really hope, man, that you get all the opportunities to continue to bless other people, because I know you will, right? You're the kind of person who, if given 5 talents, is going to turn them into 10 and give them to other people. Like, that's, you know, that's who you are. And so I'm excited, brother. And obviously we'll stay in touch, dude. I'll freaking see you at work. But Austin, I'm sure if you ever have any questions for Austin, brother, he's, you know, more than happy to talk, man. This has just been an honor.
Thank you for having me on and even considering and having me here. It means a lot. So, yeah, honestly, absolutely. When you asked me first, I was like, what can I tell anybody? Especially when I've seen the captain rank, I'm like, my man just promoted, like,
Well, Arnie, mm-hmm. Arnie, you got our invitation.
All right.
Ready? Okay, just for one day, we're going to invite you for one day to be a guest on the Burpee Squad.
What is the Burpee
to help? So we're going to do 150 burpees a day for the rest of the month, and then it goes up to 160 next month. You don't have to do a full commit to the whole year, but, you know, join us for a day. Are you in?
For a day. And when did you start this? I got to, you know, now my logistical brain is kicking me in.
We started this on March 19th. That was when we got invited to the challenge. And so we were doing 130 every day from March 19th until March 31st, and 140 for the whole month of April, 150 for the month of May. Yeah, that's what we're doing. And
but you're welcome to join.
Yes. I'll commit and say, yes, I will, depending on what day you say we start or what day.
Just one day, dog. Yeah, just one day.
Okay, I can 50 in the morning, 50 in the afternoon, 50 at night. We good. Like that,
dude, look at that.
That's
smooth. Yo, just shoot us a text. Shoot us a text when you've done it, man. We'll share it. We got a little group chat
going. That's how we get you, though, Arnie. We'll get you to do one day, and then we'll say, hey, babe, what about another one? And then another one.
And that's the thing. So, like, in my position on base, I have a unique position in the case that, like, being a second lieutenant, I have the power to tell lieutenant colonels and colonels and majors, like, no, sir, you can't do that. So I'm going to stick to my no.
Love it, man. Well, dude, you rock, man. Appreciate having you. Jared's always good about reminding everybody on this, but please share this with anybody you think benefited from it. And Jared and I, That's our feed. Do not share this with anybody that Arnie knows that knows his future fiance. Okay, that is the only thing we ask, is do not share it with anybody in that network, because we don't want her to know. But please share it with a friend or a family member or that would benefit from this. And I think everybody would be uplifted to hear from Arnie and his vision. Absolutely. And his mission in life. And his faith, man, that's so inspiring. Thank you, Arnie.